Amen. We got a lot to rejoice about, a lot to be grateful for. We get to be in the house of the Lord once again. I said we get to be. We don't have to be. Nobody's forcing us to be. We get to be in the house of the Lord. Amen, amen. God bless you. You can be seated for just a moment. This is my last service this time around. I hope not my last service permanently, but we'll leave that up to Jesus and Pastor. But it is so good to be here, and we've enjoyed ourselves thoroughly. And I know they're not here, but I'm sure word will get back to them, and I hope it does. How grateful we are, how thankful we are. The basket, all of the meals, everything has been wonderful. Pastor and Sister Crosswhite have went just above and beyond to ensure that we've had everything taken care of, and we're so grateful for that, so very appreciative. And of course, Brother and Sister Watson pitched in Tuesday evening and carried us out, and we had a wonderful time fellowshipping with them. I think if anything, I could say y'all are just a blessed people today. Y'all have wonderful leadership, wonderful brothers and sisters in the Lord. And I would be very grateful if I were you. If I did not have a home church and this was where I lived, this would be my home church. Amen. This is where I would want to go to heaven from. And I know you know this already, but you are just blessed people today. What a wonderful congregation, wonderful body of believers. And I'm thankful for our time together. And I appreciate faithful people. I couldn't do my job if it wasn't for you. Boy, y'all are quiet on a Thursday night. I tell you what. Amen. The elder evangelist back there, the seniority here, he speaks back there for us. We could not do what we do if it wasn't for precious, faithful saints of God that made up their mind day in, day out. We're going to go to church, and we're not just going to show up in body, but we're going to connect in the spirit. And we're going to see what thus saith the Lord God. Amen. I do give honor to my fellow evangelist, and grateful he is here this evening. I would have been just as content to sit over there or somewhere out there and let him minister. But very, very, very honored to be here with him as well. I appreciate good men of God, good evangelists, not just because I am one. I pastored before. I'm thankful for those days, but men that evangelize, I give high honor to them. It's a certain calling that requires a lot of sacrifice, and I appreciate good men and good women. His precious wife, I told her, I think Tuesday night, I have drawn strength from her back there, just preaching and speaking Spanish half the time and tongues the other half, I think. I don't know, but anyways, appreciate this good family. Amen. Well, it's our last night together. I don't want to leave here the same way. I want to go home changed. I want to go home transformed by the word of the Lord. I've got a hunger in my heart tonight to see God do something special. And I'm turning in the book of Hebrews, if you would turn there with me, Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Felt very strongly I had something, and all day long I just could not get away from this. And the Lord really began to deal with me, and I began to dig just a little bit. And I don't know if I'm preaching to a young person, an elder. I don't know exactly who I'm preaching to, but I have strong direction, I feel, in the Holy Ghost. God wants to strengthen somebody here today. And I believe, if nothing else, a fresh determination would be breathed into all of our spirits before we would leave to keep on keeping on. And again, I really feel God direct me in this specific direction. And just to kind of preach, if I could just simplify it, preach against a quitting spirit tonight. Is that all right? Yes. I don't like quitting spirits. Amen. The church can't grow if there's quitting spirits around. Amen. And so we want to preach that quitting thing right out the back door tonight. If you'll let me know, it's Thursday night, but God's the same Thursday as he is Sunday. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Don't get weighed down. Every weight. And the sin which doth so easily beset us. It just doesn't take much to get us messed up. It doesn't take a lot. The devil doesn't have to get you smoking and doping and carousing to mess you up. He can get you filled with just a little bitterness, a little offendedness, a little resentment. Don't take much to easily beset us. But let us run. Everybody say run. Run with patience. Or that word patience means endurance. The race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus. It matters where your eyes are. You go study it. Oftentimes where you're looking is where your feet will go. It's hard to look this way and walk that way, or you'll get messed up if you try. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. How many of you are thankful for Calvary? I'm so glad God didn't quit when the going got tough. I said, I'm so glad God didn't quit when the going got tough. Amen. Would you lift your hands and your voices one more time before we're seated? God, talk to me. Talk to my heart. Talk to every one of us today, God. Strengthen, God. Breathe life into this sanctuary, God. I'm asking you to strengthen every heart. Let there be tenacity and determination, God, that would, God, settle upon every one of us before we leave, God. Made up mind in this house today, Lord, like never before. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. And let the church say amen. God bless you. You can be seated. My subject for just a few moments this evening is the reason for the race. Can you say that with me? The reason for the race. I look today in preparing for all of this, and again, this is just a little different for me. It's very, very simple. It's very elementary, but this is what God would not let me get away from. And I begin to scratch this down as I read through some things today. And I found there are many, many different types of races. Now, I'm not talking about ethnicity. I'm talking about legitimate, real races. There are car races. There are motorcycle races, bicycles, swimming and boats and ski races. And obviously, there's some horse races. I know you've heard about them. You got the dogs that they're racing nowadays. And I even saw, even in my hometown of Oklahoma, they race pigs as if they didn't have enough to race. Now they're racing ostriches. I don't know who comes up with this stuff. Just says, let's just race them and see what happens. But typically, when you're thinking of a race, the most popular kind of racing involves running. Something I don't really do, I'll be honest with you today. Unless there's a snake involved, I promise you, all 300 and something pounds of me is going to outrun everybody in the building. Amen. I'll happily run if there's a snake involved. I don't like them things at all. I found there to be, and just a little bit of a research, kind of give you a little background here. There's about 5 major races that are ran in the world. They're world renowned. And if you are a runner, if that's what floats your boat, toots your horn, this is the high point. This is the standard that if you are privileged to run in any of these 5 historical races, it is a high honor. The 5 that I found was the Chicago Marathon, the Berlin Marathon, the London Marathon, the Boston Marathon, and the New York City Marathon. Again, if you have nothing else to do with your life and you decide that running 26.2 miles is what is going to do it for you, then help yourself. But as for me and my house, we will not be running 26.2 mile marathons. What a true test of physical and mental endurance. It's not just slipping on a pair of sneakers and seeing how far you can go. It takes a lot of mental strength, a lot of willpower, plus just a little extra of whatever it is to accomplish such a task. I know some people, they struggle, they get all upset and in a tizzy if they have to drive 26 miles. And yet these runners find it within themselves to push beyond the normality and push beyond what others will do and run for 26.2 miles. When you start thinking about racing of any kind, obviously we would be remiss if we left out the event that takes place every 4 years in our world, the Olympics. Just a few days ago, competitors from different countries and nations in the world, they gathered to compete against one another to see who the best of the best in their category would be. And very, very, very many, many extensive categories. I began to look at a few today and I said, I'm not going to name all of them, but I don't keep up with the Olympics. Couldn't tell you one thing about who won what and any of that, but probably the most popular thing, just again what I read today at the Olympics, what I could find to be the grandest of the events are the races of men and women who run as quickly as they can in their designated race. Some they sprint for a short distance. Some run for a little ways, some run a long ways. But where the rubber meets the road is however you're running, short or long, the goal of that is to determine who the fastest man or woman in the world is in that race. I want to share something with you that I read. I feel like it perfectly depicts the heart of this message. It's about a man. He did not run this year's Olympics as far as I know. His name is John Stevens. While competing in the marathon in Mexico City, Mr. Stevens had a terrible accident in the middle of the race. At the 11-mile point during the 26.2 marathon, there was a jockeying for position between several of the runners, and Mr. Stevens was hit. The story tells us, true story, he fell very badly, wounding his knee, dislocating the joint, as well as hitting his shoulder against the pavement and messing all of that up as well. However, he got back up and somehow he continued to run, finishing dead last among the 57 competitors who completed the race. Granted, 75 started the race, 57 finished. The winner of the marathon, a man by the name of Mamo Wolde of Ethiopia, he finished this marathon in 2 hours, 20 minutes and 26 seconds. Mr. Stevens coming in dead last, dislocated knee, joint out of place, bleeding, shoulder messed up. He finished this race in 3 hours, 25 minutes, 27 seconds. When he crossed the finish line, there were only a few people left in the stadium, and the sun had already set. The medal ceremony was going on, and when they heard there's still another runner out on the course, they all raced out there to see who it was and what was going on. A small crowd had gathered, those that had remained, and began to cheer loudly for him as he crossed the finish line, hurting, wounded, and bleeding. When they asked, why did you continue running? He made this statement, and it just hit me right where it hurts today. He said, my country did not send me 5,000 miles to start the race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish the race. And so with that in mind today, whoever you are, that God laid on my heart today to preach in this vein of the Holy Ghost, that you've been considering perhaps not finishing what you started. I have come to preach to you today that there is a reason that you and I are running the race that is set before us. Can I just tell you today, God did not call you out of darkness and into this marvelous light just so that you can quit close to the end. God did not bring you out of the junk that he brought you out of. He didn't bring you out of the miry clay and set your feet on straight street. Bring you this far in life. Be with you every step of the way. Never fail you. Never forsake you. Only for you to quit on him in the very end. My friends, I've come to preach to you and remind all of us there is a finish line just up ahead. A finish line that is designed for you and I to cross on over. And the reason for the race today, the reason that we started this thing in the first place, is literally right in front of us. It's called the finish line. I wish somebody would hear me today. We're so close to the end. We're so close to it all being over. Any day now, even before the lights go out, and your head hits the pillow tonight, it could very well be that the race comes to an end. The finish line is just up ahead. And if there's ever a time to make up your mind and say, God, for God I live and for God I die, whatever comes my way, I've got a made up mind. I'm going to finish that which I have started to do. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm a curious man. It gets me into trouble probably more times than I want to admit. And I look today and begin to curiosity got the best of me. I've often wondered why the flag at the finish line is always that checkered black and white flag. I learned something new today. Anybody like learning something new? Y'all probably already knew this. Y'all much smarter than me, but I learned something new today. It's very interesting. Come to find out, back in the day when all these races were taking place, most tracks for any kind of race, especially the one where you run, the track was made out of dirt. And as racers would race, the dust would begin to fly everywhere, creating a limited field of vision. And I wish I had time to just stop and preach right there, but if you're a preacher, you know that's just a gold mine right there, creating a limited field of vision. But that black and white flag that would wave in the wind, it contrasted perfectly amongst the dust, and all of the runners could look ahead and see clearly that it's the final lap, it's almost over. And I got done reading that, I almost had myself a little shout down right there in the sanctuary at Pastor Martinez's church. I want to tell you today, I know that the dust of this world has been a kicking up. I realize it's somewhat of a limited vision going on around here because there's so much stuff floating in the air, and there's a lot of junk and a lot of filth and a lot of dirt and a lot of perversion that's just clogging up and polluting the track that we run. But thank God there is a stark contrast. Can I tell you today, heaven does not need a checkered flag. I assure you today, it is contrast enough in this world that we dwell in. Honey, I don't see a checkered flag, but I do see the shimmer of a street made of pure gold. I don't see a checkered flag. I wish I had some elders today that can testify of what I'm preaching. I don't see checkered flags on a Thursday, but I do see the sparkle of a wall made of pure jasper. I don't see a checkered flag, but I do hear the voice of the angels as they cry out, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. mighty. Can I tell you the finish line? It's almost here. The race is almost over. We're just about home. I've never been this homesick before. Woo. I don't want to be too comfortable in this world. I don't even want to get close. I don't even want to get anywhere close to being at ease in this world. This world is not my home. Some of y'all done settled down and bought some land. I'm going to tell you today, I'm renting on this thing. I hadn't bought no property here. I'm not talking about physical stuff. I'm talking about spiritually. I'm just renting a little while. I don't plan on staying here forever. I'm not a citizen of this world. I'm a pilgrim and a stranger. I'm looking for a city today whose builder and maker is God. I'm not here to stay forever. I'm just here to stay until God says, okay, it's time to come on home. And I've come too far to quit now. I didn't run this race this long to fall by the wayside. I haven't run with patience all this time just to get impatient now and drop out of the race. I started this race and I plan on finishing. Come hell or high water, come rain or shine, come light or darkness, my goal remains the same. I'm going to keep on keeping on. I'm going to keep on putting one foot in front of the other. It ain't always easy. It ain't always sunshine. But I'm going to tell you, it does not change my mind. It does not change the objective. It does not change the reason for the race. I've got to make it all the way. Hallelujah. God is my strength today, my portion. I know I can make it because of who He is. And I don't want to just let Him be the author and let Him start this thing with me. I want to let Him be the finisher. He's not just firing the gun at the starting line when I repented of my sins and got baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost and go. And I took off running. He didn't just fire the gun and say go. But He's also the finisher of this thing. And when I cross the finish line, He's going to be there in the beginning. He's going to be there in the ending. And He's going to be there every step in between. He's my starting point and He's my finishing point. He's there with me on Monday and Tuesday. He's there with me even when I don't think He's with me. Who am I preaching to right now? Yea, though I walk through the valley, can I tell you, Thou art with me. He's not leaving you. He's not forsaken. Who am I preaching to that the devil's been lying to you, telling you God doesn't know? God doesn't care. I'm here to tell you, He walks with me. He talks with me and He tells me I'm not alone. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. And then He tells the church, challenging them, so run. Why would I run? That you may obtain. If you only knew, if you had a real revelation of what's waiting on you on the other side of the finish line, I wonder how many of us would get back on the track and say, I got to keep on keeping on. If we really had an understanding of what God has prepared, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard. You have no idea what God has done in a heart of love and preparation for you and I. Can I tell you, can I encourage you, run like they run in the race. I know there's only one winner on this earthly race that gets the prize, but that runner's got to do it with all he has. Run with all he has. Can I tell you, you got to run with all you got. The good thing about this race that I'm preaching about, it's not about who finishes first. It's not about who finishes second, third, or even fourth. It don't even matter if you finish last place. The only thing that matters in this race that we're all running is that you finish. It ain't good enough if mama finishes, because mama running her own race. Ain't good enough if pastor finishes. Pastor's running his own race. Only thing that matters as long as you finish. The whole reason for the race today is you got to finish it. Why do you go to church all the time? Trying to finish my race. Don't y'all got anything else better to do? Nope. Trying to finish my race. Well, why do you have to dress holy and modest everywhere you go? I'm trying to finish my race. Why do you pray like you pray? I'm trying to finish my race. Why do you worship like you worship at church? I'm trying to finish my race. The voice that says, is all of that really necessary? It's necessary if you want to finish the race. You don't have to do it, but if you plan on finishing, you got to do these things. I go to church, I pray, I worship, I live holy and separated, because my heart says, whatever it takes, whatever I got to do, I've got to finish the race I'm running. Everything I do in this life is so that I can finish the race that I started. Paul writes to the church in Philippi and tells them, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. I feel like what Paul was saying needs to just be echoed in the halls of our heart today. You got to hold forth the word of life, church. You got to hang on to the word of God like you've never hung on to it. If there's ever a time to live for God, youngest to the eldest, we need to live for God. And if there's ever a time to get up and run this race, now is the time. Because we got a race to finish. And when we all get together on the other side of the finish line, I want to rejoice with you. I want you to rejoice with me. I want us to look back and understand we didn't run in vain. We did not labor in vain. But every invite and every prayer meeting and every outreach effort and every Bible study and every church service we went to and every time we ran the aisle, every time we clapped our hands, every time we said, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, we'll have an understanding it was not in vain, but we'll be there over there somewhere in glory, and we'll finish the race together, and we'll know like we know everything we did. We finished the course. We ran the race. Can I have a few more minutes? Sadly, we have too many people in the world that started the race, but they're not finishing the race. Something happened to them in the race. For some, it was a distraction. Something that drew their attention to the sidelines of life. Maybe that's why you got quitting on your mind tonight, sir. Maybe that's why you got quitting on your mind tonight, ma'am. Something distracting you from the race. Devil knows exactly how to get your attention to not be looking unto Jesus, but to be looking unto the sideline. Oh, I don't want to get bogged down today. Most of them that don't run this thing anymore, that decided that quitting was easier than keeping on, that they're looking on still, trust me. They're on the sideline and they still see what's going on. That they see something church related on social media. They might even come to a special service on Easter or some kind of deal going on around here. They'll even hear about it from somebody still in the race. You'll know it because they'll be asking, well, how's Pastor doing? Is Sister So-and-so still going there? Does she still wave that little handkerchief when preaching gets good? You know, you've heard it. They start asking questions and they act like they don't really care much, but they ask just enough to find out, is the race still on? Oh, help me, Lord Jesus. There is a part of them that wishes to God they would have never stopped running the race. I talked to my friend one day. We grew up together, danced to the same songs, heard the same preaching, went to the same youth meetings. He had a call of God on his life. I had a call of God on my life. And somewhere along the way, he got sidetracked. And anytime you get sidetracked, it often leads to sidelined. And so I asked him one day, after a few years of him being out of church, I said, do you ever miss church? Do you ever miss all of the feeling and the atmosphere and the presence? Do you ever just miss it? I thought he was going to cry. Tears welled up in his eyes. He took his glasses off, was wiping his face. He said, I wish to God I would have never quit in the first place. And I said, it's never too late. As long as there's breath in the body, it's never too late. Can I just tell you today, you may think quitting is the best option, but you'll get on the sideline. And there'll come a point in your life, and if it don't happen here, it'll happen in eternity, that you'll wish to God, I never quit the race. I'm trying to remind you today, the reason for the race is that we finish. For some, they just grew weary. Life got to them, as it does to us all. Nobody's exempt from life. Sometimes we over-spiritualize things, and I'm not taking away from the devils and spirits, and we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I get all that. We are in spiritual warfare. There's a battle, but sometimes it's just life, and life just weighs heavy on you. You get flat tires, and the plumbing gets messed up, and the roof caves in, and you get sick, and it's really not the devil. It's just life. Sometimes we get weary from just life, and the race can be too much. Perhaps even it's for some, I don't know, I'm just trying to pinpoint this thing, help you. Perhaps you picked something up along the way that sapped your strength. That's why the writer said it, lay aside every weight. There's just some things you'll find out you don't really have to have in the race. You got to go back and make sure your priorities are what they should be. It's still seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these other things. If you try to figure it out yourself and play God, you're just adding weight on your shoulders. And the more weight you have, the harder it is to run. And then you become weary. And here we go. And some people are weary in this race, not because of life, but because the devil is attacking. And he's trying to wear you down. And you sit there wondering, what's the use, preacher? Why even keep trying? Why would I even keep running? Is it really worth it? Can I tell you today, it's worth it. And there's a reason. And you ought to keep trying, because there's a race and it has to be finished. For some, they lost sight of the reason that they were even running. This is one that gets all of us, because sometimes you can be running just because. We come to church just because. We pray our little whatever prayer just because. Just because is a common enemy of every saint of God. Can I tell you today, you don't need to be doing things just because. You need to be doing it because you love him. It ain't whether or not pastor says do it or don't. It's just, I love him. I'm not running because pastor's making me run. I'm running because of who I'm running to and who I'm running for and who I get to see when I'm done running. Are you hearing me today? You can't forget the reason that you started this thing today. The reason for the race is that we finish it. Most people, if not all, please hear me, I'm almost done. Most people, if not all racers, in this particular race, the 100 meter, 500 yards, whatever they got, 40 yard, I don't know what the names are. It's not necessarily applicable there. But in this race that we're all running, a race against time, a race to spend all eternity in heaven. In this particular race we are running, the number one reason that many people stop running the race is because pain was inflicted on them while they were running. I want the Holy Ghost to minister. I'm almost done. Just as Mr. John Stevens experienced in his 11th mile of running, a twist up, a mishap, a conflict in the race, a misunderstanding. Somebody got out of their lane. He got crossed over, tripped up. What a mess. 75 people lined up next to Mr. Stevens that day. 75 of them. Only 57 finished. But thankfully, Mr. Stevens had enough heart. Regardless of the pain, he finished. I can see it today. I don't know if there's, I don't know. I just read about it, but my imagination paints this picture. I can see Mr. Stevens as he slowly picks himself up. He sees the rest of the runners before him. He had every excuse right then and there, walk away. Everybody watching the race would completely understand why he quit. Knees all bloodied up. His joint is dislocated. His shoulders messed up. Pain is just saturating his body, head to toe probably. And he has a decision to make. I'm hurt. I'm bleeding. I'm bruised. I'm banged up. I ought to quit. He remembers, I didn't come 5,000 miles to start. I came 5,000 to finish. I'm preaching to somebody in the 11th mile tonight that you've fallen. Somebody's messed up. Somebody's hurt you. You got pain. Can I tell you today, the decision that you need to make is to finish the race. Mr. Stevens, he put one foot in front of the other, trying to run again. And his only reason, it wasn't for a medal. It wasn't even for fame or glory. It wasn't even for a prize. He knew at this point, it's over for me one way or the other. Rather, he understood the reason for the race. I've made this long journey. I've sacrificed. I've invested. I've made a commitment. I did not come this far to quit. I came this far to finish. And his purpose and his objective and his reason is I must finish. In an effort to make it to heaven in this race we're all running, how many have been wounded? A mishap, a misunderstanding. Accidental or intentional, it makes no difference. One way or the other, some precious saint hurts you. Maybe even the preacher hurts you. Can I say in the defense of ministry, we're all human just like you are? It's the truth. We all bleed red just like you do. And we're not perfect. Well, maybe the preacher hurts you. Maybe a family member hurts you. Maybe somebody lied about you. Started a rumor, gossiped about you, whatever it is. You're sitting on a chair on a Thursday night. And you're running with bloody knees, dislocated joints, because somewhere in your race you got hurt and you fell down. Somebody crossed over, got out of their lane, twisted it all up. And I know you're sitting here thinking, maybe I ought to just quit. Maybe it's not worth it. But can I tell you, don't let the devil lie to you and tell you that because you're hurt, it's a good enough reason to quit the race. Don't be deceived by hell today and be convinced that just because it happened to you the way that it happened to you, it's valid enough to walk away. Here's a common misconception. God understands. Not when it comes to this thing. Not when it comes to pain. God doesn't understand. Just quit. You're hurt. There's no need to continue the race. It's a lie from hell. God will not understand. Why do you say that, preacher? Because God knows. He knows what it's like to endure the pain to finish what he started. He started his own race in a manger in Bethlehem. And he endured every hurt and misunderstanding and confusion and conflict and mishap and pain until he finished his race on a hill called Calvary. Even in his dying breath, he made the statement, "It is finished." God understood his reason Well, what's God's reason for finishing? I'm preaching to his reason. The preacher is the reason. We are God's reason for his race. But can I tell you, God is my reason for my race. When I look in the mirror every morning, he's my reason, because there's coming a day I'm going to walk across the finish line, and I'm going to look my Savior in the face, the Redeemer of my soul, the one that shed his blood, and I'll hold his nail-scarred hand, and I'll know I finished my race. Let me just push this one little bit more further. Somebody was depending on God to finish the race. Not just somebody, the entire world. You talk about pressure in the race. Don't talk to God about pressure in the race. He carried the sin of every human in the entire world on his shoulders. And he did it while hurting. And he did it while being misunderstood. Because somebody was depending on him to finish it. Who knows today? Who knows? Maybe, just maybe, somebody's depending on you to finish what you started. What about it, Daddy? What about it, Mama? Grandma, Grandpa, young person, whoever you are. If you quit now, the chances of those that you love finishing the race, they decrease. I'm not saying they won't make it. I'm just saying the chance starts going downhill quick. If you don't run for no other reason, run. Because behind you, around you, the neighbor, the clerk at the grocery store, the waitress at the restaurant, the friend at your school, the coworker on your job, your children, your parents, your family members, whoever it is, they're watching you. And if they can somehow see, look how hurt they are. I'm not talking about victim mentality. I'm talking about when they can see, they deserve to walk away from that thing. They have every right to quit, and yet they keep on running, and they keep on doing this thing, and they keep on living for God. Maybe, just maybe, they'll get on the course with you and they'll team up and say, hey, I want to run this race all the way. I got to finish it too. I don't want to not make it. I want to finish it all the way. Whew, I want the music to come. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. We got a cheerleading section. I know y'all have heard this verse preached numerous times. Nothing new today. Commentary suggested this verse is likened to the Olympic stadium that was held in Greece at the time of these writings. They say that the crowds, they were deafening. Now, we're not talking about sound systems and speakers and microphones and even bullhorns and... No, it was all just the way that the construct of the arena was. But the crowds would roar and they would shout and scream and cheer on those that were running the race. You've heard it often, but be reminded once again, we are compassed about. We can't see them today. But if we could peel back the layers of heaven, I believe we would see a grandstand. And there's old Apostle Peter, a man that finished. Didn't they hang him upside down? There's old John. They boiled that joker in a pot of oil. Is that right? Now he lived, but it still hurt. How about it, Stephen? Talk about being misunderstood. They stoned him. What about it, Paul? Come on, John the Baptist. If anybody had a reason, hey, Jesus, get me out of this prison cell. You my cousin. We family. Jesus said, go tell him Be not offended. What'd they do to John? They cut his head off. I believe he's standing up there on the grandstand going, if I can make it, you can make it. Great cloud of witnesses, would you stand with me all across the building? I believe hell is watching to see what you'll do. I believe heaven is watching to see what you'll do. I know God is watching to see what you'll do. There is a race that has been set before us. Most of us have been running it for a little while, and God sent me to this pulpit to remind one, two, or the whole place, whoever you are, the reason for the race is you got to finish it. I want to invite you today, if you need strength to finish, if you've been feeling a little weak, a little vulnerable, a little hurt, a little offended, a little misunderstood, I want you to step out, gather around the front. You don't need a preacher to lay his hand on you. God can minister to you in these closing moments. God can bind up the broken wounds. God can mend the broken pieces. He can give you the strength to finish what you started. Heaven is near. Finish line, it's near. The race, almost over. Do you really want to make it all the way? I'm not going for a medal today, but I am going for the gold. Woo! Don't let the pain, the hurt, the bitterness, the resentment, don't let it keep you from finishing today. Let God help you and give you the strength to overcome and to make it all the way. Come on, lift your voices. Talk to him right now. He's here. He's here. Do you need strength?
Be home, be praying. Oh, fast, have faith. Pray hard, fear not.
Woo.
Stay strong, keep on.
Come on, one foot in front of the other. The rest of the race, it starts tonight. Come on, we're leaving here strengthened. We're leaving here determined. Precious elder, I know you've been running a long time, but don't quit now. Young person, don't quit now. Say to God, don't quit now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor preached 2-3 weeks ago, maybe, and brought up the illustration. Many of you have heard it before. And he said there was a man that ran the race, got to the race, and everybody was excited about the race and wanted to take part in it. And this man had run many races, but he showed up to this particular race, and he did so with a pig under his arm. That pig was squealing and squirming, and someone said, "Sir, you can't run the race with a pig." And he said, "Well, show me in the rule book where it says I can't run the race with a pig." And of course, it wasn't in the rule book. No one had quite thought of that to put in the rule book up to that point. And so they had to let him run the race. And as soon as the gun went off and the race started, the pig squealed and jumped, kicked the man in the face, jumped onto the ground. The man's running, trying to chase the pig, and it was a fiasco. And so, the point being, there's a lot of things that we can technically, if you're looking at the rule book, but when we're laying aside every weight and those things that so easily beset us, I want to run the race the best way that I can. I don't want anything hindering me. I want to give my everything. And the revelation of Jesus Christ, when you really begin to see who Jesus is, there is no longer a question of, well, do I have to do? And what can I get by with? It's whatever it takes. Whatever it takes that I might win Christ. I want to win Christ. Does anybody feel that way tonight? I feel encouraged in the Holy Ghost. I want to run a little bit harder. Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Brother Wainwright, for following the Holy Ghost. Amen. Anybody feel like you've been to church tonight? Amen. Amen. Be encouraged and continue your week. Run the rest of the week race with patience.